You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it's Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast presented, of course, as always, by DraftKings. Love the folks over at DraftKings. You guys know, just always use the code Ross whenever you're signing up for, including, by the way, betting on the NFL draft, which a lot of people do. We talk about it quite a bit on the Even Money Betting Podcast, and we'll do that over the next couple weeks. So make sure you're listening or watching youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL, the Even Money Betting Podcast. And then when you take action, take the action over at DraftKings using the code Ross. I am Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, bunch of media gigs now, pretty cool life. You can check me out on social media at RossTuckerNFL. Certainly all of our different shows get posted initially at RossTuckerPod, and then the highlight clips of each show, so you know sort of what we think is the best of the best. That's always on YouTube as well, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Speaking of YouTube, that is where the star of this show first got well-known. Football Game Plan on YouTube. The guy is a celebrity among college coaches. Straight-up celebrity. When you walk around with him at the College Football Coaches Convention, you can check him out on Twitter like I do, at FBallGamePlan, and I got it. I think it was maybe at this point 8 days ago, 9 days ago, the glorious, robust, tremendous draft guide, footballgameplan.com/2024draftguide. It is absolutely not too late to get it. In fact, we still have a few weeks before the draft. Why not get it and have every report that Emory has done on every player? Nobody has as many players as Emory. It is awesome. Honestly, like, we only go over the top 3 or 4 and a couple sleepers at each position here on the show. If you're the type of person that watches or listens to the show, you really should get the draft guide. I mean, you really have to get the draft guide, right? So you know about all the other guys. It's been fun, by the way, over the last couple weeks, having so many of you emailing me when you purchase the draft guide, ross@rostucker.com. I love that, and that's a great way to be one of these sponsor confirmation email winners that we have on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. All right, Emory. Hard to believe, man. We got D-line, then linebackers, then DBs, then the draft will be here. And I cannot wait for the draft to be here. It's one of my favorite days of the year. There's just like this excitement all day, seeing what's happening. D-line, typically a very highly touted position. It's interesting, Emory, whether it's your rankings or others, doesn't feel like I'm hearing as much about this year's D-line crop in terms of being like top 10 guys. We're hearing about quarterbacks. We're hearing about receivers. We're hearing about offensive tackles. Not hearing as much buzz about the D-linemen as being top guys.
Which is fascinating because there are some top-tier pass rushers in this class, you know, in terms of DNs, edge rushers, maybe not so defensive tackles. Maybe that's a reason why. But, man, in terms of edge rushers, you're probably talking about 3 first-round guys. So it is surprising because that's usually one of the positions that everyone talks about in terms of top of the draft, quarterback, tackle, pass rusher, and cornerback. And we don't see those being talked about this year, cornerback either. We don't see that a lot. You know, a lot of discussion about that position as well.
You, Emory, like we do at a lot of different positions. And by the way, this is kind of how the teams do it too, right? Like, How do they see the player, right? There's not just DNs. There's not just D tackles. Emory, if you check out the draft guide, he's got guys that are more 4-3 DNs, more 3-4 ends, guys that are more pure edge guys, and then guys that are more D tackles, which is usually probably more like a 3 technique, and then guys that are more of the nose tackle variety. You know, I think I know the answer to this, Emory. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but tell people the difference in your mind between a 4-3 end, a 3-4 end, and an edge player.
You know, it's fascinating because this is something that has become more of a thing. And even though now we're looking at more hybrid fronts, so guys can play essentially everything, but from a traditional standpoint, your 4-3 defensive end is someone that has some pass rush twitch, but also does a good job of, you know, anchoring versus the run, can play the run rather well, but you like the athleticism of him being able to be a pass rusher. The 3-4 end is someone that could sort of kind of play that 5 technique, does have some ability to pressure the quarterback, whether it's like straight power rush or maybe some twitch, but is built like a guy that can anchor 2-gap and play the run equally as effective and can be a pocket collapser. Your regular edge rusher, which is what we used to call weak side defensive ends, to just now stand them up and just let them get after the quarterback. These are guys that are supremely athletic that can also drop in coverage if you want them to, but they mostly can get after the quarterback. These are guys that are your hired gun, so to speak, in terms of rushing the passer.
Absolutely love it. That's a very good description. It's funny because I have a friend whose son is a like ideal 3-4 D end. There aren't that many colleges playing with 3-4, you know? Although some of the best ones like Alabama and Georgia are, it's kind of interesting that dichotomy there. All right, let's dive into it. And we'll start with your 4-3 guys who, if I had to do on the spectrum, Emory, for the people watching on YouTube, it's like the one end of the spectrum is the edge guys, right? They're probably not as good against the run, but they're super athletic coming off the edge. The other end of the spectrum is the 3-4 ends who are like your thicker guys. Think like Aaron Smith for the Steelers, guys like that, Richard Seymour for the Patriots. You know, could almost play D tackle in EM2. Right in the middle is the 4-3 end. You know, like they're kind of right in the middle in my view between the 3-4 bigger guy, edge guy, smaller guy. 4-3 is right in the middle. Your number one guy is Latu from UCLA, who I know it seems like a lot of people really like.
Yeah, and listen, he has a great combination of eyes and hands, so that allows him to find himself in the backfield often. And watching UCLA, man, I've seen a lot of UCLA in preparation for, you know, putting together this draft guy, because there's a lot of good defensive players on that side of the ball, especially up front. And he was just tremendous watching him throughout the course of a game. And it was great to watch UCLA defensive line because you're watching these Pac-12 offensive linemen that we talked about before, you know, from Washington, Oregon State, Oregon, these guys that can play. They're going against top-tier pass rushers. And Latu with the eyes, the hands, the quickness, the want to, the aggressiveness. A lot of times we're hearing the you know, the talk about the injury concern coming out of UCLA, but a lot of what we're hearing about him sounds a lot like what we heard from people with regards to Jalen Phillips. I think they're the same player, you know, and so I like Latu. I think, you know, he's going to have a fantastic career and would be the first one I would take off the board if I needed a pass rusher.
Wow. I love it. Any concerns with him?
The only area of concern, you know, in terms of rushing the passer, I feel like he's a little bit raw in his toolkit, and that's something that you could develop. You know, you working with Chuck Smith if you can and get that going. You know, Chuck Smith is a master at pass rushing techniques and getting guys better in that regard. So it's going to require some offseason work, but, you know, for the most part, he does find a way to get to the quarterback despite the nuance in his ways. He has the sack production, which is what you like.
All right, your number 2 4-3 end, such an interesting story. He's from not that far away from me in Pennsylvania. I never even heard of him from high school. Went to Albany, was good there. Somehow he ends up at Florida State, and he's been unbelievable the last couple years. And he's got all the physical numbers to back it up. That's Jared Verse from Florida State.
And when you talk about someone that understands timing of when a big play needs to be made, that's a great trait to have for a football player, whether it's someone that carries the ball, a running back, or a quarterback that understands how to lock in the two-minute drill. But a pass rusher knowing that, hey, I have to make the play right now to end the game, he's usually that guy. And so some people may watch a game and say, well, he's not really doing anything. But then when a big play needs to be made, that's when Verse pops up. And the fact that he went from UAlbany, dominated there, to Florida State, played great last year, and then came back to say, you know what, I don't want to be considered a one-year wonder. I also want to try to win a national championship, and goes out there and has another great year at Florida State. Tells you a lot about what he brings to the table. And that's the biggest thing I like about his game, the athleticism, obviously, the production, obviously, and the fact that he challenged himself to go back, even though we both didn't agree that he should have, gone back, because he probably would have gone in the top 10, but still may go in the top 10. We don't know. Bears sitting there at pick 9. We never know what they might do. But I do like Verse. I think Verse is going to be a fantastic player.
All right, and then your last 4-3 D end, Braden McGregor from Michigan.
Yeah, and there's a drop-off between Latu, Verse, and McGregor. Not saying that McGregor's not a good player, but I'm just saying there's a difference between those two and McGregor. I like his ball get-off. I do think that's a trait in and of itself where, when you are able to get up the ball quickly, you put the old tackle in the bind, you put everything in the bind, because now he has to scramble to find a way to keep you from getting to the quarterback. And when you are able to do that, you then dictate the terms up front. And I think he does that consistently. Like, his ball get off is where it needs to be, has the great read and react skills that you want to see. So he's not going to just fly up the field and rush himself out the stadium. He's going to see what's going on and then adjust his angle, maybe read, retract, retrace, and get to the ball carrier, to the quarterback. So I like his game as a traditional 4-3 defensive end.
I like Labatt Blue Light as a traditional beer. If I want to take things to the next level, man, I'm drinking some Labatt Blue Lights with friends, living life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. All right, Emery, let's dive into your 3-4 DNs, and we'll start with Brandon Dorius from Oregon.
Yeah, and what's funny about him, man, is, it's like you watch, and this you described it perfectly, because his size screams 3-4 defensive end. He's 6'3", 271. So he's kind of a thicker guy. He has a baseball catcher's build, right? So it's kind of a unique build for him. But watching Oregon, I was like, yo, this dude is always in the backfield. Like, great with his hands, can win with power, shows some nuance with his hands, traces the ball, tracks the ball rather well. I was like, man, I'm thoroughly impressed with his game. Consistent, game in, game out, rep in, rep out. He works off blocks rather well, so he's not going to stay blocked. He's able to disengage. I just think he's a fantastic point of attack player that would be an ideal, five technique for a defense.
Another guy getting a decent amount of buzz is the guy you have ranked second as a 3-4 DN. That's Darius Robinson from Missouri. Everybody loved the fact that he had the picture at training camp with the Lions. Big Lions fan, grew up there. What do you got?
And this is someone that people will say he's a first-round talent. Will creep in the first round. They love what he did at the Senior Bowl. They may see him as a 4-3 end, but I see him more as a 5 tech because I like his length and like how he's able to use that to really get off the blocks and really, pocket collapse, I like to call it. And it's funny to watch teams throw tight ends over him. Like, first of all, you're never supposed to use a tight end over a defensive end, but in his case, he makes those guys look like absolute foolish. So I like his length. He has a great ball get off the leverage, so he can really anchor, set an edge, and force a running back to cut it back inside. And based off what he did at the Senior Bowl, he's showing you that he does have some pass rush capability. So he's one of those guys that You know, he fits the physical mold of what you look for in a 3-4 end, but can also be one of those strong side defensive ends as in a 4-3. So he's probably a little bit more scheme diverse than most.
Then the last guy you have is Solomon Bird, as in terms of 3-4 DNs from USC.
Good functional strength, very tough to move off the spot. And when we talk about the five technique, you really want someone that, you know, kind of holds a gap and prevents that old lineman from climbing to the second level. And I think he does a really good job with his initial punch. I have here in my scouting report, he's a heavy-handed puncher. So that shocks the offensive lineman. It gets him on their heels and allows him to then, you know, walk guys back into the pocket. So you like that he has a functional strength up front and you're tough to move up the spot. You can consider that gap closed when Bird gets off the ball.
All right, let's move on to your edge guys, Emery, because this is where I find it really interesting looking at the rankings on the draft guide, footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. Your number one edge guy is lower on a lot of other people's lists, but you got Jonah Ellis from Utah, number one.
Explosive first step, explosive ability to collapse a pocket, very strong point of attack player, checking all those boxes, right? And he is someone that plays every down like his third down. So the relentlessness, the effort, the get off, the hustle, all of that is there for Jonah Ellis. He would be, if I was an offensive lineman, this is the type of guy you don't want to block because he doesn't take a play off. Every play is like a sense of urgency. It's like he's trying to catch a train, at 5:15 and it's 5:14 and he's running through, you know, New York City traffic on the sidewalk trying to get down to Grand Central. So that's someone that you do not want to block. And he is always finding a way to get to the football, whether it's he's chasing a play going away or chasing a play coming toward him or, you know, chasing a play downfield. Like Ellis is relentless. Now, you know, there are times where he's too trusting in his ability where that can get him washed out the play or needing to convert speed to power a little bit better. But for the most part, down in, down out, rep in, rep out, Ellis is a dog.
Love it. And you have him number one. You have Dallas Turner. I think most people have number one. You have him as your second edge guy.
Yeah, and the reason why I have Ellis ahead of Turner is because Ellis doesn't gamble much more, doesn't gamble a lot. I feel like Turner takes that gamble. We try to slice his in front and cross his face of an offensive lineman, which now you sacrifice the edge. And, you know, sometimes the lineman is baiting you to cross him, you know, cross his face. So they could just collapse you down, and then now you can get to the outside. He has to be a little bit more consistent in that area. But when you talk about someone that has the explosiveness and the twitch, there are some times where he takes his first step, and I'm like, did he take another step? Because why is he right in the backfield? It feels like it's supposed to take you three steps to get to the backfield, but sometimes his explosiveness off the ball is so quick that it's one step, and he's like even with the offensive tackle, and then he's able to flatten and get to the quarterback and accelerate. I know people are not as high on him in terms of like elite pass rusher. He should be like top five pick, but he's a pretty doggone good football player. And, you know, we talked about this a lot on the show. The last time I checked, we're playing football. And if you got a lot of good football players on your team, you're going to be winning a lot of games.
Your third guy's Mo Kamara from Colorado State.
Well, this is another one that looks like the game you're watching. He's playing in, you know, two times fast forward as opposed to regular speed. He is super explosive off the ball. I'm surprised we hadn't seen a lot of discussion about him. I know he's technically quote unquote undersized. He's what, 6'1", 248, but he had a really good, you know, Shrine Bowl. You know, he showed the quickness and the twitch at the combine. And watching Colorado State play, you see him constantly. You talk about Jonah Ellis playing every down like his third down. There was one game, I want to say it was a Utah State game. I feel like within the first eight plays, he made nine of them. That's how good he was initially to start the game. When you're jumping off tape like that, that's the guy you want out there. Now, you know, he does need a changeup. When you're that squatty as a pass rusher, you tend to use your one dip under move because you have the natural leverage and it's easy to get around the corner. And get that excite bike lean. You know what I'm talking about. You remember that? and get up under the tackle. So you guys have developed a change up every now and then. But I mean, hell, if your fastball is working, just keep throwing the fastball.
You know, it's interesting to me. I see no Chop Robinson, Emery, in your top three, the highly touted young man from Penn State. What did you see from him?
Because he's number four. So he's a half point behind Mo Kamara. So I like Chop Robinson. He's another one that's super quick off the football. And, you know, and it's like his first step is his trump card. Like, explosiveness within your first step is half the battle. Then after that, he has great core strength. I think he's underrated in terms of how, you know, naturally strong he is. And he also is fast in all directions. So you can't, like, try to bait him with misdirection because he could then retrace and go get the football. He makes a lot of plays in a run game behind the line of scrimmage and also does a great job. You know, I think he has room to grow within his game and developing a little bit more nuance because right now he is kind of one-dimensional, like what we talked about with Mo Kamara. But, man, if you're one-dimension, is what we've seen from him so far, then he's a pretty doggone good player.
D tackles, Dwayne Carter from Duke.
What's funny about Dwayne Carter is he played baseball too. He was that's why he went to Duke. He wanted to be a baseball player as well. So he's a tremendous athlete. He is super disruptive up front. Like, he can rush over the guard. He can beat your center up. You can kind of kick him out and let him, like, kind of rush as a five technique. So he's got great versatility, good athleticism. And I thought he played big in the biggest of games. So I watched their game against Clemson, Notre Dame, and NC State. And all three teams have interior offensive linemen that are going to be drafted. So you got a great look at what he brings to the table. And he's one of those difference makers where sometimes he was not able to be blocked. And when you're able to have that aspect, I'm surprised we're not hearing enough about him as a potential first-round pick.
Interesting. What about Braden Fisk? I remember watching and calling some of his games at Western Michigan.
Yeah, he's super athletic. Like, we talked about Charles Turner from LSU, the center, having a day at the Senior Bowl when they were running routes against a defensive lineman. Well, Fisk was the one on the defense side running routes like he was a tight end. He was another one that was super athletic and showed some savvy in route running. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him be one of those dudes in the NFL that gets in on the goal line and they throw him a ball like Mike Vrabel because he's super athletic and a good receiver. But when you talk about quickness off the ball, working your hands greatly, and then getting back there in the quarter at the quarterback, it's a problem. You know, I was asked this question by a good friend of mine, Gene Clemens, on his show, where he asked, which D-line would I rather not face, Florida State or Texas? And I was like, well, if I'm running the football, Texas. If I'm dropping back the pass, Florida State, because a guy like Fisk wins immediately, and he's in your face, and you got to make a decision quickly.
Some of the nose tackles, speaking of Texas, you got McKinley Jackson, you got Tavondre Sweat from Texas, and Fabian Lovett.
Yeah, and here's McKinley Jackson is one that really stood out to me, Ross, because I felt like, you know, it was rather – usually with some of the years we have, like, 20 nose tackles. This year we don't have a lot of nose tackles. We got 10. But I felt like watching McKinley Jackson up front, he was playing – the nose, kind of how I expect you would play it. Like, he's not just some gap occupier. You know, he is someone that could, you know, he works well with his hands. Obviously, he has a core strength, does a good job of winning the hands first battle, so he's in control, can disengage, and get to the football. And because those linebackers at A&M were so doggone good, big reason why it was McKinley Jackson right there up front. And Sweat, you know, he is the traditional nose tackle where he takes up two gaps. There was one play in particular against Washington where he had two gaps and Murphy had two gaps. It was like those two defensive linemen held the entire offensive line down. And it was like, it was insane to watch. But Sweat gives you that. And he's 6'4", 366. You do worry about the weight. You know, he plays a little bit more north and south. Not much twitch. But if you're looking for a nose tackle, you kind of expect him to play north and south and be a two-down player, and that's what Sweat is.
Here's some of the sleepers that Emery has listed that you can check out. Levi Drake Rodriguez from TAMU-CC. How about Antonio Alfano? I remember he committed to Alabama. No, maybe he committed to Penn State, then Alabama. He's been all over the place, unfortunately, off-the-field stuff. But his high school video was really, really good from Lackawanna. Noah Washington, Morgan State. Check out Emory's draft guide for all these guys and more. Footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. He's at FBallGamePlan. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. The keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for tuning in to College Draft. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and Fantasy Feast, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.